Good evening. Tonight is Chof Tammuz, our Shabbos Parshas Pinchas, July 13th, 2017. We are up to Beit Zadaf Mem, and tonight we conclude the Shiurim on Maseches Beitza for this time around. And to begin, we're going to start with the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. The Mishnah is concluding its discussion on the Halachos of Tchumen. And the Mishnah brings up the following case. Misha zimen etzlo orchim, somebody invited guests to his house over Yontif, and we'll add in the fact, the detail that says that there was some leftover food. Lolo yichu v'yodom manos, the guests are not allowed to bring the leftover food back to their house. Why would they not be allowed to bring the guests after that? Why would the guests not be allowed to bring the leftover food? Simple thing is that the guests had made an Eruv, had lived out, the guests had made an Eruv to allow themselves to go to the host's house, but the food started Yontif in the house of the guests, and it was out of the Tchum, the guest's house was out of the Tchum, to get the extra food, sorry, was out of the Tchum of the guest's house. However, the Mishnah says, Elayim kein zocha lehem manoseh me'erev Yontif. However, you are allowed to give them the food if the Baal, or the owner of the house, and the host had mizaka to them, or had acquired for them the food on Erev Yontif. How does that work? Rashi tells us, Shemoshram Balabaya Zeli Adamacha B'Mashicha, that the host gave them over to another person, and another person did Mishkini B'Mashicha. But Amrlon, he said to him, Zakei B'mono Salo L'Ploni U'L'Ploni. And he said, please acquire these food portions for such and such guests. Now, why is this a lot of work, even though they're not there? So Rashi continues and says, it's based on the principle, that we can do something to benefit a person, even if that person is no longer there. And consequently, as a result of the Sechiyah, they become theirs on Erev Yontif, and they are allowed to take them wherever they are allowed to go. So again, to summarize, situation is where guests came to a person on Yontif, and it happens to be their tchum does not match necessarily with the tchum of the Baal. So what happened is that if the Baal wants to send home some extra food with him on Yontif, he may do so by being mezaka the food to the guests on Erev Yontif through a third person. So Tosos already asks a question. Tosos says, Tema. Even if you simply just went ahead and enunciated each person's chelik, that should be enough. And where do we see this? It should be no different than a borrower, Darmin on Le'el, as we said above earlier in Daf Lamaches. Even if you only gave it to Man Yontif, it's still Kiragmi Hashoel. So why is the case differently? So that was a question that Tosfos answers. Tosfos says, V'yishlomer deshoel, that the Shoel, his intention is more on the Kli than the Orchim, than the guests on the food portions, meaning before Yontif, and this is actually spelled out a little bit more by the Ran at the end of the Perek as well. And the Ran basically says, echoing what Tosfos was mentioning, is that because they're dealing with each other when it comes to a Shoel, and the two of them are negotiating, and they're making a deal with him before Yontif, so their minds are on it, as opposed to simply guests coming from before Yontif. So yeah, you might have arranged that you're going to be coming to a person's house for a meal, but you're not necessarily arranging that person is going to take home the leftovers before also. I mean, sometimes it does happen that we take off leftovers from guests, especially if you happen to be guests at your parents' house, and your parents make extra food for you to come home, which, you know, from our parent-child days, that does happen. But that's in a situation where it hasn't been thought up as much. It has not been an agreement. When it comes to the case of a shul, since an agreement was made, that agreement is enough to acquire a rishus. The Mishnah basically implies that it's not enough to designate something verbally. So either you need something a little bit more than a verbal designation, such as, let's say, a she'ela, or you need something like a zechiyah, as it says in the Mishnah. But basically, bottom line is,
verbal designation does not require property. And that brings us to two questions that Zilberstein brought down where this principle is brought up. First question is, comes up at chasna. Beautiful chasna, everybody's sitting, the dancing is done, and the waiter comes in with the food. And Reuven and Shimon are sitting next to each other. The waiter, the caterer, is told to prepare 200 portions, and he prepares 200 portions. And the waiter comes and puts a portion in front of Reuven, a portion in front of Shimon, and so on. And Shimon, all of a sudden, his telephone rang, and he had to run outside. And before Shimon could come back, Reuven actually went ahead, took his piece of chicken, and ate his piece of chicken also. And since the situation was where the caterer actually only had no leftover portions, this was the only amount that was left, Shimon's got nothing to eat. And the question is, does Reuven have to pay Shimon as a ganav? So Rav Zilberstein mentioned, based on this mission over here, we see that it wouldn't be such a thing there, because even though the waiter put it down in front of him, you don't perform a kinyan just by having something set in front of you. You actually have to do something. So while, of course, it's true that Reuven isn't not going to win the Midos Award, and he's not going to get too many friendship awards, or make too many friends this way by stealing people's portions, nonetheless, legally, Alpi Halacha, he's not considered to be a ganav, because to be a ganav, you have to take something that belongs to somebody. And over here, since just simply designating something in front of somebody and placing it as a in front of him, without the person making a kinyan, that does not create ownership. Interestingly, we have another case where a whole bunch of Talmidim were sitting and learning together. Let's say, for example, Daf HaShavua Shir, about to start Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And right before the Shir started, they appointed one person to go to the local bookstore, the local farm store, to buy a whole bunch of Rosh Hashanah so that everybody from the Shir can use it. And the Shliach went and bought 20 Gemaras. And he sat and he put the 20 Gemaras in front of everybody's makom before the shir. He went out to brew the coffee, because what's a Gemara shir without coffee on a Sunday morning? And what happened was, they come back and they see that one Talmud has an empty Gemara in front, empty spot in front of him. One of the Gemaras was taken. And the question is, does that person lose out? Or do we say that no, that the hefset is split amongst everybody? So, again, what Zilberstein wants to do is, what Zilberstein wants to bring our Mishnah down. And just like our case, for example, in the case of Orchim, the food doesn't become theirs unless the Baal has designated it. Here too also, it's not going to be just simply designated through a Zechiyah, simply just designating and putting something in front of somebody. It's not going to go ahead and create a kinyan. And that's why it's everybody's loss. It's not that we say that, oh, I have a Gemara, and it was his Gemara that was stolen. No, that everybody has to bear the loss and come up with the money to pay for another Gemara if they want to get one, meaning to chip in for another one if that's what we're going to do between the raising the money. So as opposed to Reuven having to pay an extra $10 for his Gemara, or extra $15 for his Gemara, everybody in the shir has to split the cost if they wanted to buy a new one, just like they would split the cost for the previous ones. However, Zilberstein does mention that there might be a chelik between this case and our Mishnah, and that our Mishnah, they're involved a certain designation. Because what happened was this, basically, all the members of the Shir had made this person who bought the Gemara, made in their Shaliach. What happened? They gave the Shaliach money, and then with the giving of the money and the picking up the Gemara, each Gemara, it was determined that this was the Gemara that this person was supposed to have. So if this is the case, once this happened, one might say that this is a little bit more of a designation, because since the people actually gave money to the shaliach to pick it up, he wouldn't necessarily just call this stam hazmana. We might call this more of a shaliachos, more of a kabbalas kinyan. So Zilberstein actually leaves this particular case as a tzarach iyun, but he would not leave the case of the stealing of the basar, the stealing of the portion of the wedding. Based on our Mishnah, that would definitely not be a gezel. And as we finish up our Mishnah, as it says over there, again, simple hazmana is not going to create kinyan, but actually a formal maisa kinyan is what's needed. Kol tov, mazal tov to all the Messiahim, and much hatzlacha with learning Maseches Rosh Hashanah.